You are listening to Podcasters of Horror, a podcast about exploring horror anthologies from film and TV, as part of the Super Network, with your hosts, Super Marcy.
And he just gave off, like, very creepy vibes, so you're always very unsure of this guy.
And the terrible Australian, Beat Germine.
Which, in that version, it's a Krusty the Clown doll that's harassing Homer.
This podcast may contain coarse language.
It just kept getting weirder and weirder, and it's, what the f*** is up with this house?
Adult themes.
You know, she's only just a little girl, but he really is very mean to her.
And potential spoilers.
Spoiler alert.
Listener discretion is advised. For more information, please visit supermarcy.com or see the show notes. To show your support, you can join us on Patreon at patreon.com/thesupernetwork. Please enjoy the show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Podcasters of Horror, the horror anthology show here at the Super Network. I am one of your hosts, Super Marcy. And yes, welcome back to the show. It has been a little while between episodes, and we apologize. It has been a bit busy, but we are back, and hopefully with monthly episodes moving forward. And of course, I am joined by my regular co-host. He is known as the Terrible Australian, but that is questionable because he's a pretty cool person. Mr. Bede Germine. Hello, Bede, and welcome to the show.
I'm really good, thanks, Marcy. A nice save there as well. Because I was a little bit worried there for a minute.
I'm only mean to you on To Be Tuesdays. I'm nice to you on all the other shows.
I mean, that is true, and we should say it. So, but I am happy to be back with a new episode of Podcasters of Horror. And like you say, it has been a little while since our previous episode. And I think, Marcy, what I think is a good idea for our little comeback episode for this show in particular is going back to a specific Twilighty zone about some zone.
yes, indeed. We are headed back to the 80s incarnation of the Twilight Zone. And it's good to be back in the 80s Twilight Zone, as we have only just scratched the surface of this series. So it's exciting that we are looking at some more episodes.
Oh, definitely. The fact that there's so many different incarnations of the Twilight Zone. I mean, we've talked about a lot of episodes from the original incarnation, but of course we have the 80s incarnation that we have talked about on a few episodes, but we also have the 2000s one and also the 2010s one as well.
That's right. And I'm sure we will be diving into the 2000s and the, what was it, the 2019 show?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, about there. We'll probably be diving into that at some point as well. But for today's episode, we thought we would look at two segments from the 80s version. And we thought we would check out a remake from the original series that we have covered in a previous episode, and one that shares a similar name but has nothing to do with the original episode. And the ones we will be discussing are The After Hours and Little Boy Lost. So, Bede, are you ready to get into these segments?
I definitely am, Marcy. Let's do this.
All right. Let's get into The After Hours.
Please be open. It's gotta be open. Shoot.
Attention, shoppers. Sadler's is now closed.
We're closed.
It's very important. I'll only be a minute.
Mr. Bennett, we have a problem with the elevator.
Hey, no, wait!
This is the first segment from episode 28 of season 2. The teleplay is by Rockne S. O'Bannon and, of course, based on the original Twilight Zone episode by Rod Serling, and it was directed by Bruce Malmuth. It stars Terry Farrell, Ned Bellamy, and Anne Wedgeworth. And the plot synopsis: Marsha Cole detects shadowy figures and mysterious voices around her during a trip to a local shopping mall. And interesting thing about this episode, the opening narration was apparently only on its original airing. And that opening narration is, "How fortunate for Marsha Cole to squeeze into the mall, even though it's closing. Someone should remind her, though, doors that keep others out can also seal you in. The Twilight Zone." So, yep. Definitely a bit of a remake from the original episode, and you can go back and listen to our thoughts on that one. Bede, what did you think of this remake of The After Hours? As I know you weren't the biggest fan of the original episode, so curious to see what you made of this one.
Well, I was kind of curious to see how this new take or 80s take of the original episode was going to be, because as you sort of stated before, I had quite a number of problems with the original episode, even though it is a very iconic one. Mm. There was just too many plot holes in that story that you could easily just fit an entire truck through. And there were so many questions I needed answered. And I feel like the Rod Serling, when he came up with that episode, it was more of a case of coming up with a cool concept and a twist, but not really sort of filling in the gaps to make it and just not making it make sense when you actually sit back and think about it. So again, I was kind of curious to see how this new one would take the concept. Would it do it better? Will it fix up all those problems that I had with it? And I will say, I think it does in some areas in terms of some of the plot holes that the original had. But at the same time, though, I think it's like the original. It's an okay episode. And I feel like knowing that this is a remake, you kind of already know how the story is going to go and what the twist is going to be. So there's no real surprise with it. But I will say, though, it does take a different approach than the original does, because this one definitely goes for, I guess, a more intense vibe compared to the original, because the main character in that one, she's confronted about being a mannequin, and then at the end of it, she just accepts and remembers who she is and then goes back to a mannequin form. But in this case, the main character, played by Terry Farrell from Deep Space Nine,
and Becca
exactly, she is, once she starts to remember, she freaks out so much that she doesn't want to go back to that life. So it is a different approach in terms of the execution of where the story goes, or especially with its main character. But yeah, it's kind of an interesting one. It, like I said, it does fill some of the gaps that I had problems with. Like, for example, in the original episode, she comes to the store to buy a present for her mother, I believe. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, wait, if she's a mannequin, how does she have a mother? But in this one, though, they kind of fix that up by making it that she's moved into an apartment and the present she's buying for is for the daughter of her landlord, who she has become friends with. So that makes much more sense. But yeah, it's kind of I guess for me, it's kind of a mixed bag episode. Like, it fixes some things, but yeah, I don't think it's a particularly special episode, which for me, I guess it's kind of no better or worse than the original, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, yes, it does. And as for what I thought of the After Hours, I think I was a bit more, I don't want to use the word kinder, but maybe accepting of the plot holes with the original episode. And going from that to this one, this is like straight up going for like horror vibes. It feels a lot more sinister than that first episode. And I think the fact that it's set when the mall is actually closing, so there's not really many people around, the shops are closed and stuff, it kind of sanctions off a lot of things, which I think leaves that a little bit more mysterious. Even though if you've seen the original episode or know about it, you know what the twist is. So I feel like this was maybe an attempt to not make it so obvious at first, but it kind of still feels a little bit obvious.
Mm.
But it does take that more sinister approach. And the character really feels out of place at this mall at this time, looking for this random present that she so suddenly needs. And Wedgsaw, oh, sorry if I mispronounce any names. Her character is in the store, who I feel like is a lot more unsettling than the like store person from the original episode. And there's some strange interactions, and Ned Bellamy just looks kind of creepy, which works. And yeah, much like how in the original episode, the character sort of accepts her fate, in this one, it's kind of horrific. And I think that's a more interesting and unsettling ending. While I do think it is a simple episode, I didn't mind this one at all. And maybe it's because it is a bit more sinister. I think I may have liked it a little more than the original, which could be blasphemy. I don't know. I enjoyed the performances. I thought they were all quite solid, and I kind of liked the atmosphere of just this closed off mall with someone trying to get in, and the fate would be that they can't get out again.
Exactly. And you're right. I think Anne Wedgeworth is really good as the toy store clerk, and she is definitely very sinister, probably even more so than the character that was based on in the original episode. And I think Terry Farrell is also really good. Like, she really does sell the fear of her character. And I like the fact that basically in the last half of the episode, it basically in a way becomes almost like a body horror film, because as she's tried to make her escape, parts of her body start to become mannequin-esque. Like, her legs can't move, then her arms.
Yeah, she's slowly, yeah, transforming into the mannequin.
And it is actually a pretty well done, I will admit that. And it actually, like you say, it kind of makes it a more sinister of an episode compared to the first. Like, not to say that that wasn't there in the original either, but you kind of got that sort of sense, like, once she sort of figured out who she was, it was more like, oh, okay, I now remember everything. I was only meant to leave for the month. I overstayed my welcome. Better go back to my mannequin life and let somebody else take over. But of course, Terry Farrell's character doesn't want that, and she doesn't want to become a mannequin again. But then again, I guess I might have alluded to this in the original episode as well. It's like, I mean, what is it about only one mannequin can leave? Can multiple mannequins just leave at the same time? Or is it more of a case of, like, something, whatever supernatural elements are happening, only one mannequin can leave at a time.
Well, it could be like the substance where it's like one at a time. And you have to respect the balance, which the character did not do. And I mean, it'd be for an interesting watch before that movie.
You know, I never thought of the links to the substance, but now hearing it's like it actually totally makes sense
It
now.
kind of actually does. And you can see that like more sinister side with how you see in the substance with the younger version kind of wanting to take over. And Marsha in this doesn't want to give up what she's got. So it's very frightening for her, as is in the substance, I imagine.
Definitely, definitely.
All right. Well, I guess we will do our final thoughts and rating on this episode. Bede, over to you.
Well, I guess my final overall rating and thoughts on the episode, I will probably give this one the same as the original, which is about a 2.5 out of 5. Like I said, there are definitely qualities about it that I think are better and actually fix some of the problems I had with the original episode. But I think at the same time, knowing this story already, that kind of surprise factor doesn't really sort of work this time around. And it's kind of funny though, like with the twist in the original, like they kind of really laid that in at the very last few minutes. While, I mean, if you've only ever seen this episode and not the original, you can easily figure it out pretty quickly what is going on. And I think that kind of sullies the any surprises for it. But That being said, it is well made and it does have some really cool moments. But yeah, I think it's kind of just like the average, like the previous episode. It's just like an okay episode.
And as for my closing thoughts and rating, I actually give this 3.5 out of 5. I definitely liked it more than you did, and that's fine. I really liked the horror approach it took, and we keep saying the word sinister, but that's literally how it feels, this very sinister tone and approach, and the more bleak ending, and as well as having those body horror moments. I think it achieves enough within the time frame, and I don't know. I feel like I was just captivated a little bit by this episode, and that could be a whole number of factors. But yeah, I honestly didn't mind this one. On to the next segment that we will be discussing, Little Boy Lost.
Hi.
Hi. What's your name?
Guess.
Guess who?
No, it's not a knock-knock joke. You have to guess.
Okay, let me see. How about Kenny?
Right! You're a good guesser.
You're kidding. On the first try? You're from the agency, right?
This is the first segment from episode 4 of season 1. And we previously covered another segment from this episode with Nightcrawlers, so you can go back and listen to that. This one was written by Lynn Barker. It was directed by Tommy Lee Wallace, and it stars Season Hubley, Scott Grimes, and Nicholas Savoy. The plot summary: a woman struggling with the decision to settle down and raise a family or embrace her accelerating career befriends a strange boy who seems to be stalking her. The opening narration for this one: Carol Shelton, photographer, a modern woman with an age-old problem. She can make the artistic choices of light and shadow, which capture a lifetime of human pain or grandeur on film. But like each of us, she has trouble sometimes choosing which road of life to travel, especially when that road winds deep among the shadows of the Twilight Zone. And since I picked on you first, Bede, I will pick on myself and give my thoughts on this episode. I did not really gel with the message of this episode. I thought the performances in this one were all pretty good. Little Scott Grimes is mysterious, but he kind of works. And it's a decently directed episode. Visually, it's not too bad as it deals with photography. So I think it uses that to its advantage. Where it really fails for me is the kind of story that it is. And maybe the writer, Lynn Barker, had something go on in their life that sort of conjured this story. But it really got my feminism raging a little bit. As we see the woman, Carol Shelton, played by Season Hubley, who is a photographer, and she is going for like a job that would take her abroad, or she can stay and not do that and have a family with the man she's seeing. And the character of Scott Grimes, the mysterious strange boy, is what could be her son if she chooses not to have a career and stay. So I don't know what this one wants to say. Is it saying that if you're a woman and you choose a career, you can say goodbye to having children? Because I feel like that was kind of outdated almost in the 80s. So I don't really know, but I did not really like it. And I give it its props for the things that it does well, but on that personal level, it did not work for me. And I'm curious to hear your thoughts, Bede.
I kind of am in agreement with you, Marcy. Like, sitting down to watch this episode, when I saw the title Little Boy Lost, I think you and I both assumed, like, oh, this is like a new update on a segment we talked about on a previous episode, Little Girl Lost, which, for those out there who don't remember, parents come into their daughter's room at night, can't seem to find her, but they can hear her. But they find out that she's been trapped in another dimension. And I thought, okay, maybe this is going to be a new updated version of that. Because, you know, each incarnation of the Twilight Zone isn't afraid of remaking some of the more popular episodes. So I thought it was going to go for that. But when you actually sit down and watch it, it doesn't do that. It goes in a completely different direction with its story, which I don't mind because I think it's kind of fun that it kind of plays with that title from the original.
Mm.
But yeah, I have to agree. I found the messaging of this episode very, I don't like using the word problematic, but it is problematic in the simplest of terms. And it's interesting too, being that this episode was written by a woman, Lynn Barker. I'm not sure what she was trying to say with her script of this episode. Like, I think you're right too, because this whole kind of concept of a woman who wants to, at this point in her life, to focus on her career before she wants to settle down and have a family. And she does say, like, to her boyfriend that she definitely wants to have a family, but she can't have a family right now because if she's trying to focus on both her career and her family, and being that she is a photographer who travels a lot, she wants to be there for her kids while they're growing up. So you could definitely understand her reasons for that. And also her wanting to take on this job because it'll be something that will further her career. And of course, her boyfriend, Greg, has a bit of a shit fit about it. And Greg's a bit of a dick in this episode, to put it bluntly. And then, of course, you have Scott Grimes, who seems to haunt you and I lately, Marcy, this past year.
Scott Grimes, just for the last few years, it's like, why is he just popping up in everything randomly? All the time, even in a documentary about Baywatch. I'm not surprised that he was on a Twilight Zone segment, especially being that as a child actor, he did like the Critters films and stuff.
Oh, definitely. And so he comes along and there's something very off about him. And then, of course, you find out that he's kind of like this physical manifestation of the child that Carol and her boyfriend Greg would have if she decided to stay. But I think the thing that I find icky about this episode is like the episode really lays in the guilt trip on her, and having Kenny being this cute little kid and who keeps going on about, well, if you go and work, I'll never exist. I mean, you may have kids down the line, but they may not be me. And I'm like, dude, like, yeah. This is some major guilt tripping going on here. And thank goodness the episode ends the right way, as it should be, that in the end, after a lot of soul searching, Carol decides to go with her career. And I'm really thankful it did, because like the episode just really lays thick on on making Carol feel guilty about her choices in life. And watching this episode, I just felt really wrong to me. And you're right too. Like, if this was an episode that came out in, or had a story like this in the 50s or even the 60s, I could get why they would make this episode, especially around those times because of what women's roles in society were like at the time. But mind you, this is the 80s. This is like the post-feminist movement.
The 80s were all about career women and career women having families and doing it all. So it's very confusing, especially with the fact like she does want a family, but it's just not the right time for her. And if she sets up her career, well, then she'll probably financially be able to support a family. So it's a very, very odd episode. Like, I think you could have taken something like a woman being a photographer and this, you know, mysterious little boy is there. Like, I thought you could have him as like some kind of messenger. Like, maybe you could have had it as if she stays, something bad will happen, and it could have been like this premonition type of thing. You could have done something cool with just that basic concept, but instead it's like guilt for not having a child at this exact moment in life. But also, not everybody wants to have children, and you will have children whenever the time is. And I just don't understand why it lays on this guilt so thick. And yeah, the character chooses to leave and further her career, but it still gives you like this almost a funeral for a character that ultimately was never meant to exist. I'll give the episode credit with it's a really good shot when you see those photos that she takes and with Scott Grimes or of Scott Grimes, and then they disappear from the photos. I think that's well done, but why is there mourning for something that was never going to exist? It feels wrong. It really does.
I feel like it's just a very confused episode. And I mean, I do like that shot because it's basically done in one shot where you kind of follow Carol. She's moving past the board with all the photos she took of her and Kenny. Then she's out the door and it goes back, and then the board features the photos, but Kenny's not in any of them. So that's a really cool shot. But yeah, this episode's just very confusing. Like, I was just thinking about this now, and I don't want to bring this up, but I feel like I have to. Like, I guess to put it in a modern context for our listeners, this would almost be an episode like they switched it around and she's like pregnant and she doesn't want a child yet, so she decides to have an abortion, and then the manifestation of the child that she's pregnant with guilt trips her and not having an abortion. That's what it kind of felt like to me.
I literally was going to bring that up. It feels like it could almost be this weird metaphor for you get pregnant for whatever reason. We know there's many, and it's like the thing that's growing inside is like trying to guilt you not to have it. Like, yeah, there's I could get into a lot, but on those politics, but I won't. That's not what this podcast is. But yeah, I was not a fan of what this episode was representing at all. I feel like it's the Twilight Zone. Go for something bizarre. And my idea earlier, I think that could have easily worked. Like he could have been a guiding light to stop something bad from happening. Or something. But no, we have to go into this guilt trip about not having children.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Yeah, and it's weird too, because it actually is well acted. I think the performances are all solid. And it's kind of an interesting kind of change of pace for Tommy Lee Wallace, the director of Halloween 3 as well.
Yeah, it's almost surprising just with what it's actually about. But with that said, it is pretty well directed. It just, yeah, the script is very, like, guilt trip. And, again, while it's filmed really well, that sort of ending is like this funeral for nobody. It's like, please.
And then, of course, the final narration, which I know you will say in a bit, really lays in that kind of quote-unquote funeral aspect, like, much more thick.
Yes. And everyone will get to hear me read that momentarily. And we'll get to our final thoughts, which I think are pretty obvious, and ratings for this episode. I struggled with what I wanted to rate it. I'm going with 2 out of 5. You're not guilt tripping me into anything. It's the story and all that guilt. No, thank you. The rest, as I said, good performances, good directing. There's some really good shots in it, but that's not enough to really save this one. Bede.
Yeah, I think I'm in agreement as well. I'm giving this 2 out of 5. I mean, as well made as it is from both the performances and the filmmaking, I feel like the script is just very confused about what type of message it is trying to convey. Maybe that was the point of Lynn Barker. I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know her personally. I don't know what her personal beliefs are or whatnot, but I don't know. This episode just feels very backward in a lot of ways. And I'll say this, if an episode like this came out today in the most recent incarnation of the Twilight Zone, I would imagine it would get a lot of backlash.
But there would be people that would absolutely support it too, I'm sure.
Well, that is very true. That is very true.
And yes, as we alluded to, the closing narration for this episode. The song unsung, the wish unfulfilled. Even with the dream in hand, there is the call of an eternal loss, fading, fading. For every choice made, right or wrong, 1,000 alternatives denied. When tomorrow calls, sometimes the heart must be denied. For Carol Shelton, there will be other tomorrows, other joys, and yet fading, fading. For one trembling instant, she was given the opportunity to take snapshots of an alternate future. Snapshots forever undeveloped in the darkness of the Twilight Zone.
See what I mean? Even that closing narration really makes her feel guilty about what she did.
It's almost a eulogy for a decision made that is very valid to make.
Exactly, exactly.
Oh, jeez. What two contrasting episodes or segments that we covered for this episode of Podcasters of Horror. And thank you, everybody, for listening. If you have feedback on these episodes, we'd be curious about what you made of them. And of course, you can find us, as always, at supermarcy.com. And Podcasters of Horror is available on all major podcast streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. So be sure to look that up. And of course, if you're on the website, all the links are in the show notes. And if you want to find me personally, I am under Super Marcy on the social media. I am on Letterboxd as Super_Marcy, and you can see all the wonderful things that I watch on a weekly basis. And Bede?
Well, if people want to find me personally out there on the internet, you can follow me on Twitter, Blue Sky, and Letterboxd under Bede Jermaine. You can find all my work, and as well as all the other awesome podcasts that Marcy and I host together on both supermarcy.com and all podcast streamers everywhere via the Super Network. And you can also listen to my solo show, Bede versus the Living Dead, and as well as the other shows that are also under that network, like Bede and Steve versus Camp Crystal Lake, Bede and Steve versus Leatherface, and Bede and Sam versus the Video Nasties, on all podcast streamers everywhere via their own solo podcast feeds or as part of the podcast feed for Bede versus the Living Dead.
Yes, make sure you subscribe to all of those, as well as all the shows on the Super Network as well. Thank you for joining us in the Twilight Zone, and we will be back in the near future with more discussions on the Twilight Zone. But which series will they be? You'll have to listen and find out on those future episodes, unless there's a kid you might not have telling you about it. I don't know. But with that said, thank you, everybody, and have a good one.
See you, everybody. Bye.